couple of ways. One is it gets you in the stomach. It gets you in the solar plexus. It gets you in the second chakra, which is the sexual organ, lower back of the body. All right. You know that expression, stabbed in the back? If I say that to you, stabbed in the back, where do you think the knife goes in? It's always in the lower back. It's never, you never imagine the knife going in between the shoulder blades. Your image will be right here in the lower back. Always. Always. And that's because low self-esteem plays out low in the body. All right. And because also an inability, mind my language, to quote, stand up for yourself. Why do we say that? Why do we say stand up for yourself? Why do we say stand your ground? Think of the archetypal phrases we use. That the inability to stand up for yourself creates a stress below the waist. Below the waist. It hits you in the sexual organs because we associate the ability to stand up for ourselves with being able to defend ourselves. It goes into the archetype of the sexual organs. All of this filters into your cell tissue. Believe me, I've done how many readings where I've seen ovarian cancers or I've seen endometriosis, and it's the result of low self-esteem when a person, a woman, or when a man with a lot of prostate cancer can be tracked to this, is very conscious of having esteem violated and does nothing to protect the self. You know, not knowing better is a form of an immune thing. It's kind of an immunization. But when you know better, and you just let yourself get slaughtered, and you can get out of it if you chose otherwise, but you choose to let your fear keep you there. The price you'll pay in terms of your health is a hefty one. I got news for you. If only in depression, a slaughter of your creativity, and here's something, let's connect a dot here. If you lack the kind of courage it takes to allow yourself to be inspired. Do you hear my language? To allow yourself to be inspired. And at the same time you say, as soon as I'm inspired, I'll do something about it. Which one do you think is going to win? If you don't have the courage to, quote, take up your bed and walk, always, always, always the legs are the image, then why would the gods bother giving you an overload of creative impressions? What happens is you'll get a warning that your health is going under. Because at the point at which the gods start maneuvering health is the point at which you might take some action. Okay? And when you feel yourself dealing with depressions, lethargy, I want you to connect a dot. It has to do with feeling an absence of any level of self-esteem or the ability to make a change in your life. You feel wiped out. You feel like, that's it, I've reached the bottom. Okay. And at this point, the turning over of your health, you've got to become a verb and not a noun. Verbs heal, nouns don't. You've got to take creative action. You've got to engage your creativity. You've got to use sources inside of yourself that have just been dormant. Your creativity, your ability to do whatever, whatever skill you have got to wake it up and put it in motion. And the moment you're in motion is the moment power starts coming back. And the moment power starts coming back is the moment you can afford to be inspired because you can do something about it. Do you see the cycle? And then you start feeling good about yourself. And the next thing you know, you can afford to be more inspired. And the next thing you know, you find out you can do more and more and more. And so it goes. So if at the end of this, at this point, you realize, I got to start, I got to become a verb. Begin that journey of transitioning to deciding, I'm going to do something about my self-esteem. That's it. This is as far as it goes. Imagine it's time to be a verb. And the first choice you're going to make is do some small thing for your body just your body, and start there. But here, remember the words of William James. Suffer not one exception. Because that's don't break your word to yourself. Suffer not one exception. If you want to read something brilliant by him for inspiration, read The Varieties of a Religious Experience, William James. A masterpiece. A masterpiece. And it's a beautiful way of just hanging tight, grit it, and remember, it's not what you do. It's the fact that you want your spirit to take you seriously. Now, as a way of closure on this series, I want to talk about the power of being invisible and why that's so much fun in relationship to your self-esteem. You know what? Being invisible allows you to live according to a kind of a principle of unconditional giving and unconditional support. It's an exercise in being an unconditional being. You need healthy self-esteem in order to be invisible because it's hard to do action sometimes and not want credit. It's as simple as that. It's very challenging to do certain acts in life and not want applause. Now, when I say this, you have to understand, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, with getting recognition. I'm not, and it might sound like that, and that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it's interesting to observe the health with which you want recognition. It's a perfect place for self-examining and saying, why do I have to be noticed when? There's nothing wrong with being noticed. Be careful. Remember what I'm saying here. Hear me clearly. But what I am saying is sometimes you want to examine why you need to be noticed in circumstances, and is it always positive? And to note the incredible power there.